The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. May I just take a second here and say how much I'm enjoying the show today? I'm grinning from ear to ear. We have been 100% local. We've had some really great guests. We have covered so many relevant topics. And now we have the icing on the cake. Here he is in studio, Mr. Warmth. Mr. Jack Keller. Jack, how are you?
I'm fine, Dave. I think you've miscast me.
Well, you're like, I don't know.
Hey, kids.
You have things on your mind.
Yeah, get off my lawn, kids. Yeah, Let's start with that. You know, at one time I thought about becoming a syndicated columnist when newspapers were still a thing.
Yeah.
And I was going to call my column the Grumpy Neighbor. And I was just going to kind of comment.
No, you should call it Get Off My Lawn. Well, that'd be the title of my column. Get Off My Lawn.
Now you've put that out and all over the world, and somebody else is going to take my idea. But anyway,
but I'll give you a radio segment whenever, because I know you're busy. You're always flying around. We're going to make it. Jack Keller, Get Off My Lawn.
There you go.
And each time you'll come on, what's upsetting you now?
That's a good idea. Thanks. Okay. I got a segment. It's interesting that the lead-in, your lead-in music was, the end of the world as we know it.
I played that for you.
And I feel fine.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel fine. I think the end of the world as we know it is right now is what I'd like to talk about today is this massive budget deficit we're facing in the state of California. Now, it's been in the news and there's been some chatter about it.
How massive is it?
Well, I'm not a legislative analyst's office or whoever analyzes these things in Sacramento says it could be up to $68 billion. And that's a lot of money. It's $68 billion. And I think what I'm angry at is that if you look at the additional year projections that they project out, they say $68 billion this year, $30 billion the following fiscal year, $30 billion the following fiscal year. And they can say, of course, those are just projections. We don't really know. But what we do know is that in the short term, they're anticipating up to $68 billion. It paints a rather grim picture because I want to know where's this money coming from or where is it not going to go in order to close that gap. I'll tell you what, maybe they're high by half. It's still $35 billion.
So, are you angry at Sacramento or are you angry at California?
Oh, I suppose you would say that I could direct my anger at the elected politicians that have gotten us here, but that's a cop out. That gives the people that voted for them a pass. People that ultimately have said, okay, we're satisfied with one party rule in the state of California, and we like it. We're going to keep voting the same way that we did, and we're going to get these kinds of results. And so I go back to what people say, well, why don't you leave? Well, why should I have to leave? I like the weather. I kind of like the things that we get to do here. So find a forum like the Dave Congleton Show and talk about what's on my mind. Now, what I would challenge the listeners to, though, is, let's just say the number is $60 billion because that's easy to do.
$60 billion.
What would they propose? What would they propose to do to close the gap?
Well, why do we have to close the gap? What's the consequences of being in debt $60 billion?
Well, and that's a very good question, because if you look at our federal debt and our federal deficit, it's trillions, and life goes on, and there's. We were always going to outgrow it with, future tax revenues. We were going to outgrow we'd cut our taxes in the United States and the economy would grow and we would, the deficit doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's only a certain percentage of our gross domestic product. except that when you have to pay interest because you have to get people to buy bonds, that's money that could have otherwise gone to maybe something else. And so whether it's the federal government or the state government or locally, anytime that we're running deficits, it's easy to just kind of whistle by the graveyard and say, okay, well,
so how
the train hasn't crashed yet.
How did we get here? How we end up $65 billion in debt?
I think, you know, I mean, I think when you read, you know, some, and I haven't spent a whole lot. That's a beautiful part about this program. It's opinion. It's my opinion that we got there by kind of over-promising in terms of programs. I'll say particularly social programs, broad-based, big social safety nets in the state of California is one. Education funding in California is in the range of 22 to 26 or 28% of the total state spending. So we spend a lot on education. We spend a lot on social safety nets and programs. You know, we can talk about transportation, but when you look at the big ones, social programs and education are pretty big.
All right, so...
And tax revenues are down.
You're tired of the deficit and you want something done? All right, I'm going to come raise your taxes. Let's raise the taxes and close the gap. How about that, buddy?
You want to raise my taxes.
I would like taxes.
You want to raise your own, too.
You just close the gap. We'll just raise taxes.
Yeah, and, you know, and then we'll just continue to spend.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I've said on your program before, you know, if you want to raise a dollar in revenue, could you come up with a corresponding dollar cut in any program in the state? You know, some people have suggested that maybe you, instead of you do baseline budgeting, would be a good way and say, okay, we're not going to anticipate any growth, and I would like each state agency to cut 1%. 1% a year for 10 years would be a 10% cut across the board. That would start to heal things up. But I think California years ago, and I'm an outsider, I am not a native of California, years ago, they passed Proposition 13 to basically cap residential property taxes, or property taxes, not just residential. And because the argument was every time we reassess, there are people that get taxed out of that can't afford the taxes, they get taxed out of the home they had to sell, or... You know, they were able to trot out the old lady that was eating dog and cat food because she couldn't, if she didn't do that, she wasn't going to be able to pay her taxes. And to a certain extent, the state, I mean, might even say wisely so from my political perspective, capped property taxes. However, there are only so many other places you can go for revenue, right? We've increased gas taxes in the state, right? We have some of the highest gas taxes in the country, maybe the highest gas taxes in the country. I don't know. I haven't looked at a chart. And there's only so many places you can go and find additional revenue.
So do you want us to change Prop 13?
Doesn't matter to me. My life's not going to change if they do. And of course...
Well, but give me an answer. You want to change it? Is that how we solve the problem?
Oh, no. Right. No. I mean, I think before you start raising revenues, you should start talking about cutting costs.
On the Stahlberg text line, Governor Newsom boasted of a $97.5 billion surplus in 2022. I received a $1,000 tax refund that year. A year later, it morphed into a $31+ billion deficit.
Mm-hmm.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some. But if you look back, you don't have to go too far back in the recent history and see, you know, we had a lot of COVID money, federally funded COVID money come into the state in all shapes, colors, and sizes. And I think that, you know, obviously artificially increased revenues, right? And so it's relatively easy to say, okay, those monies from Washington are likely not to be there in the near term.
Wait a minute. When Adam Schiff gets in the office, he'll take care of California.
You're just doing that to make me angry, Dave. that's another topic. But I would be interested to hear from you, from your listeners. It just seems to me.
What's the question?
The question is, are you going to continue to elect people that want to run amok with spending in the
state. What choice is there? This is a one-party state. It's up to you, buddy. It's a one-party state. What choice do we have? You vote for the Democrat or you don't vote?
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so then let's just leave it. Let's not say anything and let's just kind of surrender and wave the white flag. I'm not willing to do that.
All right.
I'm not willing to do that.
Put down your flag for 2 minutes, though. We'll be back with Jack Keller. We'll invite your phone calls as well. He's very concerned about the state budget deficit. Are you? I'm Dave Congleton. We're live. We're local. We're hometown. Jack Keller's in studio. He's concerned about the budget deficit in California. Okay, but here's the Pew Research Center. It's not just California, Jack. For the first time since 2020, state governments must confront broadly shared budget challenges. Some of the most populous states, including California, New York, and Pennsylvania, face the most serious problems, but these governments not alone. Based on budget analyses, states published in late 2023, roughly half of Americans live in states that report short-term budget gaps, potential long-term deficits, or both. And this inventory almost certainly understates the scope of the problem because many states do not publish sufficient forward-looking data to meaningfully assess their social fiscal outlook. In other words, it's not just California. We may have a bigger deficit, but a lot of states are also struggling with deficits.
Well, the words that they used was half of all Americans live in states that, right? Yeah. Not half of the states have. Okay? So you would look at some relatively populous states. Obviously, they point out to California, New York, Pennsylvania. Everybody knows that the Illinois state budget is a train wreck. It's pretty easy to get to half of the population. Yeah, we're not alone. But you know what? All politics is local. And speaking of local politics, you know, one of the things that they'd like to do in Sacramento to solve part of this is, that kind of classic cost shifting, right? Send the cost of something, whatever it might be, transportation or education or fire department support or whatever you could expect from the state to the county and local governments. And that's just the classic case of kicking this thing down, the can down the alley.
Let's go to Jack in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Jack.
Hey, good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, Jack.
Good afternoon. You know, the thing is that this thing is not a hopeless situation. The culture and the economics in California change about every 10 or 20 years, where we could have no deficit tomorrow and a responsible government tomorrow. And I mean, like within the next 5, 10, or 7 years. And that's the way California has been. Because it, we go into a deficit, deep economic deficit for one reason or the other, and then before you know it, it's the whole political aspect and culture of California changes. People forget when, you know, we had a long kind of moderate person like Edmund G. Brown, and he built California. He built the roads. He built the interstate. He built the colleges, the universities. We were a growing state. And I think that could happen again. And the thing is there's a lot of...
Yeah, but, Jack, come to the deficit. We've got a $60 billion deficit. What do we do about that?
Exactly. And it's been like that. We've gone through this in California before, about 3 or 4 times. The thing is, you're asking for a one-sentence solution to a problem that is going to take a culture change within California. We got to attract more business. We're not attracting business if you don't attract business. And so you got to innovate instead of regulate.
All right, hang on a second, Jack. Jack in the studio?
Jack, thanks for calling in. And not being a native of California, I'm not familiar with the kind of the peaks and the valleys and, you know, the cultural changes that you talk about. But it was interesting what you said was this isn't hopeless. And I'm going to assume for a moment that you're a native Californian. So that's kind of a hopeful statement for, you know, grumpy old man like me to hear you say. I think you're right. You know, we hear, and I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time looking at it. We talk about we need to attract more businesses in California. What businesses are we not attracting that we should be able to, for what reason, one reason or another? And we talk about businesses leaving California. Most of the businesses that are leaving California, they don't even really make the news. They're smaller shops or smaller operations. How do we attract businesses in California? I don't know the tax structure for businesses well enough to know. Is it just lower taxes?
Well, look at it this way. Let's say you get a company like Elon Musk building cars here, for instance. Use that for an example. He moved out of California. But let's say he pays all those people in San Jose money, pays them big dollars, and taxes get taken out of each one of those person's checks, and that's revenue in that whole area of the state. And so little by little in California, whether it's agriculture or any type of business that comes in, entrepreneurs, they're harassed. Innovate and not regulate.
So innovate, not regulate.
And I think it's interesting you bring up regulation. They talk a lot about the cost of regulation in California. I've heard that over and over again. It was interesting that we have a lot of proposition warnings on products in California. I went to buy a pair of gloves recently at an outdoor sporting goods store, and it had the cancer-causing warning in the state for the state of California on a pair of gloves. And I think, what a ridiculous regulation.
Hmm. Jack, thanks for the call. Let's go to Phil on KVEC. Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Hi,
Dave.
Hi, Phil.
Simple. California has a spending problem. They don't have an income problem because you look at their numbers compared to any other country out there. They're one of the fifth largest economies in the world?
Yeah, number five.
They just spend. Like too much. And Jerry Brown told this governor, Gavin Newsom, to be careful. You have a surplus, but it will soon go away if you spend like you plan to spend and what the unions want you to spend and what all the special interests want you to spend. You will spend this into being broke. And he's done just that. Jerry called it early when he left. And here no one can blame anybody but the voters. We voted him in, and he said exactly what he was going to do. He was going to spend a lot of money, and when people talk about it, $68 billion, it's really like $150 billion because he spent the surplus, and with what we had. So that was $80 billion that he had, and now we're 60-something billion in the hole. California has a spending problem. Just talk to the economists out there and see. We do generate a tremendous amount of income for the state, but they cannot stop spending.
I got 1 minute here, Jack. Respond.
And I'm Phil's singing my language. He would not be somebody I would yell at to get off my lawn. We have a spending problem. However, we have a voting problem. We have
Correct.
A voting problem in the state of California. It's that simple. If we don't want to continue to have these massive deficits, we have to decide that we're not going to continue to send similar people to Sacramento and expect a different result.
Phil, I got 30 seconds to follow up.
He's spot on. I'm a culprit to it. I said we were too far one way. I started trying to vote the other way, kind of balance it out, and this is what I got. So I got no one to blame but myself in some of this, and I plan on, if it's my vote, I will change that vote. I will vote for the opposite party to get some balance up there.
All right, Phil, thanks for checking in. Is that the answer? Everybody start voting Republican?
Well, vote for...
In California.
How about, it doesn't necessarily have to be Republican. Could it be independent? Could it be libertarian? There's other ways to cast votes than either straight line Republican or straight line Democrat.
All right, Jack. Jack Keller is with us. We call this "Get Off My Lawn." I like this. What do we do about the California budget deficit? Should we do anything at all? We got news, traffic, weather, more of your phone calls straight ahead. This is Hometown Radio. You've just joined us. We're introducing a new segment on Hometown Radio. It's called Get Off My Lawn. Jack Keller comes in, and he just complains. But that's not to say that he does not have legitimate concerns. His concern this time is the budget deficit, upwards of $60 billion. We just heard from Phil. It's even higher when you look at the surplus. And Jack's just frustrated. Why do we have this budget deficit? Why aren't we doing anything about it? 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Let's go to the phones. Here's Mark in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Hi, gentlemen. I like that. Get off your lawn.
See?
You know, because if you block my driveway, I have your car towed immediately. So I like that.
Right.
Anyway, the deficit. Yeah, I think that gentleman called in and he said we're in a cycle. We've gone past a cycle, gentlemen. We are now in a trend line of downward spiraling. I kind of wondered, you know, if California would ever do this, but we have. I mean, I'll give you an example. Dave, on your show years ago, you had some nice ladies on. They talked about spending $350 million for the illegals and health care. California just released a report. Altogether now, California spends $26 billion a year on illegals in the state of California. Staggering when you look at the size of the budget. To fight the fires in California, we used to spend about $500 million a year. Now we spend $3 billion. So those trend lines are not going to come down. Just like our progressive government here in San Luis, the state of California is not going to be able to go in and make cuts. They're incapable of that. So what's dangerous about liberals and progressives, when they need money, they get scary. So I think the next thing is going to be to raise revenue.
What do we do, Mark?
Well, we'd have to really make some serious come-to-Jesus moments. I don't see us capable of doing that, Dave. I mean, one of the things the governor proposed was postponing payments to CalPERS. Because that would put $8 or $9 billion back in the budget. So we'll do all these little budget tricks. We'll get away with it this year and maybe next year. But California has lost enough businesses, and you've been connected to movies. We've lost a lot of Hollywood. Have gone into Las Vegas, and a lot of rich people have moved out of California.
All right, Mark.
So no, it's a serious issue there.
Let's get from Jack. Let's hear from him.
Well, it's interesting. Mark talked about, you know, that some of the things that they can do that are kind of short-term sleight of hand, postpone the payments to CalPERS, right? Whatever that amounts to, right? But that's just a very short-term fix. I mean, ultimately, CalPERS is running a deficit anyway, right? I mean, you know, you look at long-term projections of CalPERS, and it's not particularly rosy. So yes, we can do some things in the very short term. But I think Mark makes the bigger point that we've got some big obligations that the state has committed to, and that structurally that it would take us, you know, a pretty significant change in our budget structure or our political alliances or our political thinking to get this under control.
What else, Mark?
Three quick things that liberals believe in. There's unlimited money. A. B. Someone else needs to pay for my thoughts and feelings. And the last one, if I don't get those two, I'm a victim.
Yeah, but wait a minute. It's not just Democrats. I remind you, under President Trump, the deficit mushroomed. Republicans love to spend, too.
We're talking about the state of California.
No, we're talking about spending. And Republicans, if they had the power, they'd be spending, too. I'm just trying to be fair, Mark.
I don't disagree, Dave.
Right.
I wouldn't even argue a word you're saying.
All right.
I'm just saying we have Democrats in power now, and they own the state of California. We can't even talk about Republicans anymore.
Well, whose fault is that? Who killed the Republican Party in California, Jack?
I don't know. I haven't
the Republicans.
Lived in, okay.
The Republicans. All right.
I'll just plead ignorance because
that
I'm
could be a whole
nominated.
Other show.
All right,
Mark. Thank you. Let's grab Tony in Atascadero. Hey, Tony.
Hey, couple things. So, yeah, once you have this state government, you're hiring a bunch of different people. They're not laying off people. They keep them employed. You got to pay for the retirements and so forth. They never cut back where they need to cut back. So then you keep spending and spending and spending. Look at Prop 13. They're going to repeal that. You're going to see, I read something, the great wealth distribution. They're looking at the baby boomers that are dying off and leaving their inheritance to their kids. They're going to start taxing that. They're going to start going after the people that have already done their jobs, retired, built up a nest egg, transferred to their kids. Now they're going to try to get in there and take more of it when they do pass away. So you're looking at something that they're going to look, they're like a vampire. They're just going to suck you till you're dead.
Jack?
Well, I think, Tony, you made the point that even after you're dead, they're going to continue to get money from you. You know, when they talk about, inheritance taxes, just remember, you know, dead people don't vote, unless, of course, you live in Illinois.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, another, that's a revenue opportunity for them, right? A revenue opportunity with very little consequence, because the average person walking up and down the street out in Wasco doesn't think about generational transfer of wealth. So it doesn't affect them. But if you are on the you're the recipient of that, sure, it affects your pocketbook rather dramatically, or could. But there again, the number of people that have that opportunity in terms of generational wealth transfer is a relatively small portion of the voting population. So that's just an easy one for the politicians to go after.
Let's go back to Tony. Tony, what else?
One last thing. When you have, and I've said this before, when you have 50% of the population or more working for state, federal, local governments, and that's where your jobs are coming from, they are going to vote for those people that are going to keep their jobs. They're not going to go, oh, you know what? We're in a deficit. Well, that doesn't affect me. I'm going to vote for this guy.
Yeah. All right. Point taken. Thank you, Tony. You agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, typically we vote our pocketbooks, right?
Rick is in Templeton. Hey, Rick.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. You know, there's such shortages in the trades, you know, for electricians, carpenters, plumbers. Young people just start stepping up and going into that. And then they also need, you know, the young people, they could go into truck driving, and they need a lot of pilots also, and also the military. But there's so many kids that are in school, when they graduate, they don't even know math or how to read. And those kids that are like that, they should be out of school and going directly into trying to make money in the workforce, where they don't even need all this, where they don't need a real education to go into learn the trades and all those, a lot of the other things in the military. And you'd save all kinds. If 24% of the budget goes to schools, that's where you could really save some money and just keep the kids in school that really want to be there. A lot of those kids, they don't even want to be there. So let them leave and save money in the schools. That's where I say save money in the state.
Rick, stand by. Jack?
Yeah, I mean, I think all things should be on the table in terms of, where we should look at in terms of funding, right?
So we should start closing universities in California?
Why? Sure, why not?
Rick, why not? What else is on your list?
I'm with Rick. Let's close some universities, because that's a lot of money.
All right, we'll close Cal Poly.
Sure.
And then our economy goes downhill.
Okay.
No, thank
it's
you.
It's always the other guy, right?
Yeah.
We only want to cut the other guy.
Close Fresno.
We only want to
what
cut
else,
it.
Rick? What else is on your mind?
You ought to see the building going on. I just drove through Cal Poly today. You ought to see the construction going on there.
It's the best.
All the buildings that they've built.
Good.
They could save money there. But I say save it in the high schools. Let the kids go out that don't want to be there.
No, you gotta stay in high school. I
no,
disagree.
Let them go into the workforce, learning the trades, electrician, carpentry,
sure.
Plumbing, trucking, pilots, and the military.
After
they don't want to be in the school.
I'll let them get in a high school degree, and then they can go do trades. I agree.
They're
there.
Not getting it. They don't even know how to. The ones that don't want to be there don't know math or reading.
So
you got to look at the numbers. I mean, they don't want to be there. Let them make money and get into the workforce.
Jack, any comment?
We need to consider all options.
All right. Thank you, Rick. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Here's Bob in San Luis. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Bob.
If I can make 3 points, I'd like to do it.
Sure.
Number one, you're talking earlier about voting and how we have very little chance of changing the way that voting works. I have been a lifelong Democrat, but I have to say, the state of California right now, the Democrats are more concerned about staying in power and protecting themselves and doing something like...
Bob, we lost you. Bob, call back. But the argument he got on the table, the Democrats only care about, and this is from Bob is as liberal as they come. Democrats just care about staying in power.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily blame him about staying in power. I mean, it's probably not a bad deal. It's good to be king for a day or a week or a month or a year.
All right, Bob's back. Bob, what's your second point?
The second point is you mentioned also the budget and how much of it goes towards education.
Yes.
And a huge portion of that, and I don't know the percentages, but when you look at the California college system, university system, and the regions and the chancellors and all of the administrative aides and everything, I think the entire college system in the state of California is extremely top-heavy administrative-wise, and seems like there's a lot of room to really trim the fat there in that regard.
Number three?
No. I'm driving. I got distracted. I can't remember my third point. I apologize.
No, that's fine, Bob. Keep driving safe. We'll respond. Thanks for the call.
You know, it's rare. I mean, I've heard Bob over the years. He's probably called in on any number of segments I've been on, and I'm probably going with Bob, agreeing with Bob. Right? I would actually, on those two particular issues, I would definitely agree. But if you have top-heavy administration at colleges and universities across the board, right? Well, it's one thing to say we're top-heavy. It's another thing to say we're going to get rid of them. Because I want to get rid of jobs, but I want to get rid of yours, not mine.
Stevenson, Napomo. Hey, Steven.
Hey, I just want to piggyback. The caller that called in before, he was talking about getting rid of high school. I agree with you too, Dave. I work with students for a living, and getting rid of the high school, I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
They have programs in the school right now where they can learn trades. They have that in the schools.
Yeah.
So they're already learning the trades. So that's not the answer. You don't want to send kids out who don't have any education. It's not going to help. The kids nowadays don't care. Most of them are doing things they shouldn't be doing. So cutting that out is going to make it worse. I think we need to look at cutting out some things that we're wasting money on, like the train that they're starting construction on and stuff that we don't need. We need to cut all that mess out and focus on taking care of our people. And I think that's what's going to help us out.
Stay with us, Stephen. So, Jack, I mean, I think Stephen's got a point. We got rid of the bullet train. I think we could get out of the deficit right there.
Well, no, we couldn't get out of the deficit.
We're
right
spending
there.
More than $60 billion on that bullet
over
train.
Over time, but on an annualized basis. So the bullet train initially, I think the budget, let's say, was going to be $30 billion. Now they're talking about north of $100 billion. That's okay. The bullet train that was going to connect northern and southern California. Not to be confused with the bullet train that's launching from Rancho Cucamonga to Las Vegas.
Go ahead, Stephen.
They always say it's going to be a certain amount, but it goes over that amount. It's probably going to be more than 150. But I that's a waste. Why do we need it? What's the point? We can take Amtrak or some other method, fly. But I think we're spending a lot of money on things we don't need when we need to spend money on things that are going to keep us alive, things that are going to benefit our future. And we're hurting ourselves now, and it's going to hurt us in the future. And we're not going to get anywhere if we keep doing this.
I'm glad you called, Stephen. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, what are the consequences of not doing anything on this?
Not doing anything on what?
On the budget deficit. Well, topic that we're talking about for the last 45 minutes.
Well, I mean, the long-term fiscal health of the state is probably not particularly good because eventually, and it was interesting, somebody called in and said, well, you know, we're the fifth largest economy.
Yeah, in the world.
In the world. And so far, the world has said, yep, we'll continue to buy California general obligation bonds or school district bonds or whatever. But I think one day somebody, you know, if they go to the bond window and they say, this is the rate we have to pay, somebody might say, no, that could be a real problem for the state of California.
Jack Keller is here telling you to get off his lawn. We're looking at the California budget situation. He obviously has concerns. It sounds like you do as well. We'll come back for a final segment. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. All right, it's Get Off My Lawn with Jack Keller. He wants us to do something about the budget deficit, upwards of $65 billion in this state. He wants to hold the incumbents accountable for all the spending that they're doing. If you want in on the conversation, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. We've yet to hear from anybody disagreeing with you.
Well, no, and don't get me wrong here. I don't want to hold the incumbents accountable. I want to hold the people accountable. They put them in there.
So you want to have them both accountable, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately we have to own up to it. And so, I want to make clear. I want to make something clear. I'm not in favor of the bullet train at all.
Yeah, you made that clear.
Whatever we're spending on it should stop immediately. Stop immediately.
On the Stolberg text line, 65% of property tax revenue in this county goes to the public school education.
Okay, that's a fact that tells us that 65% of the property tax revenue in this county goes to public education. Okay. That's good. We should have good schools. I'm not anti-education.
I'll rephrase this next text on the Stolberg line. Democrats are pushing the closing of Diablo, and look at the tax revenue we'll lose if that happens.
That may be true. I don't know what the tax basis is for Diablo. I suspect it's fairly significant for the county, but I think more from an energy security perspective, even Governor Newsom.
Stop.
Governor Newsom is not going to close Diablo.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We got a couple Jims waiting to join us. Jim number one is in Los Osos. Hey, Jim.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So it's been my opinion that the economy in the United States really got destroyed by MBAs starting in 1970. And what I mean by this is at one time, companies took care of their employees, did their own research and development, and stockholders were last on the list. And then in 1970-ish, MBAs start taking over everything, and they flipped that. Now it's only the stockholders that are important. And I think that's been the decline of everything here in the United States, quite frankly.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the decline of the employer-employee relationship has been ongoing in this country for a long time. And to the extent that, that ultimately has impacts because in some states there's more rules and regulations that companies have to abide by. And that can ultimately affect, employee relationships. But I'm not going to disagree with Jim on that. I agree with him straight up.
What else, Jim?
Well, I don't know what the solution is for this, but if we don't take care of workers and they don't make a decent living, then you're going to have all these programs where you have to feed them, take care of them. And so I don't understand when people talk about, oh, it's paying people to work at these hamburger flip places for $20 an hour. Well, you can't live on $20 an hour either. So either you pay them or you have welfare programs. So, you have to choose.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. Jim number two is in North County. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing? Okay.
Good.
Couple things is, this homeless debacle, I think they're just throwing money out there. To scratch backs of other organizations to get them elected. And I think it's a whole economy that back in the 80s, 90s, they were putting them in prison. And they were making money. There was organizations that were making money off the prison system, companies and that. And I worked in the prison system for over 30 years, and I understand it. But wouldn't you want them rather locked up and have a program in their face rather than just having a, more flamboyant and, I don't know. I just think that the whole homeless thing, is killing us in California.
All right, Jim, I'm up against the clock. Thanks for the perspective. Appreciate the call. Short response.
Short response is recently the study came out showed that we'd spent over $24 billion in the last 5 years working on the homeless issue in the state of California, and homelessness has got worse. So clearly it's not money or allocation of resources, or maybe it's if you build it, they will come.
Let's squeeze in Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hi, Dave. I'll be quick. Hello, hello, Jack.
Hey, Scott.
California's largest revenue is income tax, so it tells you that California is heavily relying on people's taxes, which California needs to find more ways to find more other revenue than taxes. So it would be interesting to know what states make more revenue than personal income taxes.
But as I pointed out earlier, half of Americans live in a state that's in the red right now.
Yeah. So, well, our largest spending is welfare. So I think also that the state needs to crack down on the population and find out who's getting welfare legally and illegally. Shouldn't that be something they should investigate, or they're just, they're ignoring it. But what do you think, Jack?
Well, I mean, I think that kind of monitoring of welfare recipients or the welfare system, when we talked about that for years, haven't we? It's part of, you know, welfare reform, and it just never seems to happen to get done.
All right, Scott, thank you. Nice job by Jack Keller. I love this new segment. Say the magic word.
Get off my lawn.
There you go. Final thoughts?
Great segment. I'm glad you gave me a way to raise the issue. Obviously, it's a big issue. Got a lot of callers on it, and it's really comes down to how we vote, folks.
And the main thing is to go vote.
Go vote. Absolutely go vote.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Off we go. News, traffic, weather. 6 o'clock hour starts now.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.